Does it feel like the lowest unemployment in 16 years? From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. In about an hour and a half, the government releases its official jobs report for July. Economists expect about 180,000 more people on payrolls, with the unemployment rate ticking down to 4.3%. As Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports, these latest figures show that the ever-tightening labor market is giving a boost to some groups that have had trouble finding work.
Just as we saw back in the late 1990s economic boom, people from various ethnic groups, young people, and less educated workers are all benefiting from the tight labor market.
We have definitely seen significant improvements in employment for African Americans.
That's Valerie Wilson at the Economic Policy Institute.
Last month, African American unemployment dropped very near the historic low of 7% that was achieved in 2000.
She points out, though, that fewer workers of all races are participating in the labor market now than two decades ago. Kathy Barrera at ZipRecruiter says there's another group finally getting some love from employers, and that's young people.
As the labor market continues to tighten, employers are sort of working their way down to these less experienced workers who may need a little bit of training in order to really get up to speed.
Meanwhile, people with a high school education or less have seen some of the biggest wage gains in the past year, a sign employers are struggling to fill even their lowest skilled jobs. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
One thing about mail order is what happens if you have to send something back? Do you have to call for a code? Do you get dinged if the item is opened? Well, Amazon has announced it's going to apply its easy return policy to all items purchased on the website, even if it's from a third-party seller, Marketplace's Aaron Schrank reports.
If you buy something from Amazon, you can return it within 30 days, no questions asked, and the company pays shipping. But that doesn't apply to third-party sellers who ship things themselves. Michael Pachter is a research analyst at Wedbush Securities.
Amazon is basically saying, if you want to list on our site, you're going to abide by our rules, and our rules are you are just as customer-friendly as we are.
But some sellers say they can't afford to be that friendly. Ben Manley sells electrical products like circuit breakers on the site.
It's just going to really drive up the cost of doing business for small businesses, and that cost is going to eventually have to get built back into the pricing.
A bunch of sellers use Amazon's fulfillment services for shipping and warehousing, so they're already complying with the generous returns policy. Wedbush's Michael Pachter says this move will force more sellers that direction.
Amazon thinks it's better if they handle everything, and consumers feel like there's a single policy that applies no matter where you buy your product.
Pachter says companies with high levels of returns, like clothing, will be the hardest hit by the policy. I'm Aaron Schrank for Marketplace.
Personal question, what are you picky about? Romantic partners, the bands you listen to, IPA versus Stout versus Pilsner. In 2017, something we are less picky about is stocks. Many investors have given up on the great hunt for the perfect undervalued company. It's part of this astonishing calmness on markets we've been reporting on from different angles. Today, let's turn to Jason Zweig, personal finance columnist for The Wall Street Journal. Welcome.
Good to see you, David.
Whatever happened to stock picking?
Well, I think what the basic thing that happened is that not stock picking got really cheap. And, you know, it wasn't that long ago that for an individual who wanted someone else to assemble a portfolio, that was going to cost you 1% of your assets every year. And now through index funds and exchange-traded funds, you can do it for like 0.03%.
Now, back during the individual stock picking days, part of the charm was getting in early on a new company that you thought you had the insight to see this has more potential than the rest of the market. That's switching too. It's not like the IPO rage of some years ago. We're not really seeing.
You know, 20 years ago, there were close to 7,500 publicly traded stocks. Today, we're down to about 3,600. So half of all publicly traded companies in the United States have disappeared. The rise of so-called private equity funds or buyout funds has withdrawn a lot of traditionally publicly listed companies from the stock market. And without a steady supply of IPOs to replace those listings, the choices that are available to investors have really shrunk. Now, it's worth remembering that most IPOs do not perform very well. So having that opportunity taken away from you might not be that great an opportunity cost. But it's also true that, I mean, Uber is not the best example, but maybe a company like Airbnb, or there's any number of others we could
name. That are privately held. You can't buy the stock right now.
Yep, exactly. So those gains, as those companies grow and become more profitable, aren't being shared yet with the general public.
Now, companies like TD Ameritrade and Scottrade, and they merged, but they will say that somebody still likes to pick their individual stocks. It's not dead.
No, it's not dead. I think what many individual investors are doing is they're putting the bulk of their assets in index funds or exchange-traded funds, and then they're taking a little bit of play money and they're putting that into a handful of stocks, maybe Apple, Netflix. That's not terrible as long as they understand that they're taking a lot of risk with that small share of their money.
Jason Zweig is investing columnist for The Wall Street Journal. Jason, thank you.
My pleasure, David. Thanks for having me.
And remember when Radio Shack tried to call itself The Shack? There's news that in a few locations, Dunkin' Donuts will test the idea of calling itself just Dunkin'. In a test in this newsroom, several people were surprised to hear that KFC used to be called something called Kentucky Fried Chicken. And when I said Minnesota Mining and Manufacturing, I got a set of total blank stares. Our senior producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Janet Wynn. Stephanie Hughes produces Marketplace Tech. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.